Hafidaydan Tiro, welcome to Your Humanities Half Hour. I'm Catherine Perry. Ko untungu fino Chamorro? Do you know the Chamorro language? Well, as one of the indigenous languages of the Northern Marianas, Chamorro provides a unique perspective on the Chamorro people, their lifestyle, their culture, their relationships. Our guest today is Dr. Elizabeth Re'abe, co-principal investigator, along with Dr. Sandra Chung, of the Chamorro English Dictionary Revision Project. Liz, welcome to Your Humanities Half Hour.
Thank you, Catherine. I'm happy to be here.
So how was my opening line there? Ko untungu fino Chamorro? Any corrections there?
There is no correction at all. You said it perfectly.
Oh, thank you. Thanks to your help before we started the show today. But tell us, what is the Chamorro English Dictionary Revision Project all about?
The Chamorro English Dictionary Project is about revising the existing Chamorro English Dictionary by Topping, Dunka, and Ogo. This was done like in 1975. It's been a long time. And in Topping's introduction of the book, of the dictionary, he did say that there's still a lot of words that have not been included in that dictionary. And so he encouraged the people to update the dictionary. And that's exactly what we've been doing. It was actually Dr. Sandra Chung from the University of California, Santa Cruz, who is a linguist and an expert in the Chamorro language. It was actually her, Dr. Chung, who called me or emailed me one time, and she said, would you be interested in working on this dictionary? Because there might be funding from the National Science Foundation. And I said, of course, I'll be very honored to work, you know, with you in this dictionary, because I know Sandra. She is really well known, and in fact she was the previous president of the American Linguistics Society.
Really?
So she's known, you know, all over the world. So we started planning the project, and we discussed who might be, you know, involved in this project. So we invited Dr. Rita Inos, the former Commissioner of Education, and she was very happy to join us. So she was with us for about a year, and until, you know, unfortunately she left. I mean, she passed away. And then we also invited a lot of other people from each of the three islands, Saipan, Tinian, and Rota. In that process, we selected co-leaders or leaders of working groups. And the reason why we did working groups is because we felt that this is a community project and that they had to involve people in the community. When you're revising the dictionary, we need, you know, people from all areas, people with expertise in different areas. So we went ahead and formed the thematic groups. And the thematic groups consist of people like, you know, traditional healers, fishermen, carpenters, government agents, government officials, and, you know, all the other areas related to the culture. And that really worked out so well that we were able to generate many new words that are not in the Topping dictionary. And a lot of these words are, you know, culturally significant. So in the process of doing that, we developed this expertise of generating new words through the conversations that we have every time we meet. So whenever we talk about something, then a new word would pop out and we would say, is that in the dictionary? And we say, oh, maybe it's not. You know, or another version of the same word. We would ask, does this mean this, like the way it's stated in the dictionary? Maybe we need to correct that a little bit. So it's been a very exciting process. And, you know, I'm very excited about it myself because I saw the way it worked among different groups in Rota, Tinian, and Saipan. And every time we meet, you know, it's just really a lot of fun, a lot of laughter. And sometimes, you know, we disagree on some words. And of course, you know, we always end up saying, well, we'll think about it next time, you know, put it aside and let's discuss how we are going to deal with these words. Some of the difficulties that we encountered are are words that are not familiar to the working groups themselves. So, as a matter of fact, last week we were in Guam, and we spent like 3 days with the Manomkos in Guam and several elders in their homes, interviewing them about a list of unfamiliar words. We had like about 500 unfamiliar words. The reason why we went to Guam is because, you know, we have gone through the Saipan working groups, Tinian working groups, and Rota, and they're still unfamiliar. So we decided to go to Guam, and in fact, you know, they have given us a lot of excellent information about some of those words. Some of those words probably should not be in the dictionary because they're not really words, but at least, you know, they were able to help us with some of the other words.
I have a question. If they were unfamiliar words, where did they originate from?
They originated from conversations and from some of the documents that we came across, because we also review documents. So whenever there's a word that we're not familiar, we would jot them down. And the other reason why they're called unfamiliar in quotes is because at least one of us doesn't know that word. When one of the editors don't know the word, we put that aside and we go out and ask other people, because we don't just accept anything that we're not sure of. So we want to be sure, and so we would go around Rota, Tinian, and Saipan, and then eventually Guam, and back again. Because sooner or later, somebody would know that word, but then there would be words that nobody would know. And we just have to probably make a list of those words and put them somewhere in the dictionary and just say, these are words that we have, you know, encountered, and we're not familiar, but I don't think we will be deleting those words from the dictionary, but they will be in a special section, perhaps, of unknown words. And I'm sure there will be, you know, a lot of those. Because our culture has changed, and we have lost a lot of our cultural activities, and in the process we lost the language. If you lose the activities, you lose the language, you know.
You mentioned you're looking at documents. What are some of these documents, and how far back do they go in documenting the Chamorro language?
Well, a lot of us are working with the church, several of us, like, and I'm sure they wouldn't mind if I mention their names, because, you know, it's a very honorable thing to do to help the church, like Rita Cabrera, and Rita Cabrera Guerrero, yeah, and Carmen Taimanyo. So those two ladies are helping the bishop in translation work of the Bible and other, you know, holy scriptures. So they have they brought some of those words, and to us some of those are really unfamiliar. So we try to define them. And the other, we listen to people talk, and when we say, oh, we don't know that word, and if we don't have the opportunity to ask that person what it means, then we'll jot and, you know, remember to ask other people about that word. And some of the words also came from historical documents. And then some of the words are from, you know, the younger generation, because they also create, you know, Chamorro words. And, you know, our philosophy is that if it is being used by the Chamorros, we'll try to include in the dictionary. For example, you know, the word kumu and kunu. You know, a lot of the young people are saying kunu, but actually it should be kumu. But, you know, they're already saying it. So when we put that in the dictionary, we'll cross-reference the kunu and the kumu, and we'll indicate that the kunu is a variant. It has evolved, you know, as a kunu, kumu, kumu, kunu. So there are several of those words. And the other thing also that we're really excited about this dictionary is the dialect, you know, the Rota dialect. And just recently, late last year, we were talking about the Rota dialect, and we finally decided that it would be wonderful to include the Rota dialect. So for every entry, we will include the Rota dialect. And I would like to relate that to the recent, you know, the new orthography that was adopted. as you know, there was a previous orthography, and it was not easy to follow. So the new orthography is, Dr. Sandra Chang would call it, one sound, one symbol. You write it the way it sounds. So that really helped people who want to write in Chamorro. So we are using that new orthography for this dictionary. And it's very timely also because PSS, the public school system, is, you know, they are really excited about developing materials for the Chamorro program. And they were caught in a bind because, you know, there's this old orthography and maybe there's a need to change it. So it was at that time that we were able to get together all the dictionary group and work with the Language Commission. And we got a grant from the Humanities Council to hold that workshop. And we were able to come up with a new orthography that is much easier to use and is now being used at the public school system. And I believe, you know, it's being used in a lot of other places. So that's one accomplishment of this dictionary project. It's like a, you know, a side accomplishment, but very important. Because without the orthography, it will be difficult to do the dictionary, you know. So, yeah. I forgot to mention earlier that we are thankful to the Humanities Council, the CNMI Humanities Council, for helping us with this project. When we applied for the grant, they needed, you know, an agency or an association to sponsor the project. So the Humanities Council was generous enough to say, yes, we'll sponsor.
So your funder is the National Science Foundation. How, when did the project start, and how much money have you received through this grant?
It started 4 years ago. It was meant to be a three-year project, but then they gave us another year, and that was a supplemental year. So we received about less than $100,000 a year. And then on the fourth year, we received a supplemental of about 40-some thousand. So it's not really that, you know, that big amount, because I guess, you know, maybe in the National Science Foundation felt that it is a community project, so a lot of volunteers will be involved. So, and I think, you know, that's the way it should be. Now that we are this is our last month with the supplemental, February. So all the working group members have promised, you know, they have committed that they will continue the work even without, you know, getting paid. They're actually not getting paid. They're just getting, like, you know, minimum amount stipend for their support. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's very little, really.
Give us an idea of how much work has been done. How many words were in the topping dictionary, and how many have you compiled so far?
Well, the topping contains about 9,700 some words. And to date, we have compiled almost 11,000. So we've added a lot more than the topping dictionary. And that's also one of our major efforts to add new words to the dictionary.
And what will, when do you think you'll be completing your work on the dictionary? Now, you said your supplemental funding is going to finish, and yet the work will continue. Is there an end in sight?
There's never an end in sight when you're revising a dictionary.
Because language always changes, right?
Yeah, and if you see an end in sight, that means the end of the language. Yeah. So,
good
but
point.
You know, that is a very good question. We're always getting that kind of question every time we talk about our dictionary. And believe me, we talk about it all the time. and we say, well, we're hoping that we will, you know, stop at a certain point, and maybe in 2 or 3 years. Because we already have about 11,000, maybe we'll have more, and we'll try to end it in 2 or 3 years. The major work now is the editing of each of the entries. And the editing consists of, you know, reviewing the sentences in Chamorro and English, reviewing the parts of speech, the variants, and, you know, maybe synonyms, antonyms, and, things that go into the dictionary. So that's really the big work that's involved now. And there are three editors. That's Manny Borja, Tito Hokok, and myself, and Dr. Sandra Chang. So when we look at an entry, it takes us maybe maybe 4 minutes, 5 minutes, or even longer at times, you know, depending on the word. And it is a very good exercise also for us, because it makes us think of so many different aspects of the word, and also the language and the culture as a whole. So it is really a rewarding experience, not only for us, but all the working group members. And I think they also say that to us, you know, they said, you know, we feel very good about doing this work because it brings back memories, you know, of things that we have been doing, our culture, and the words help us, you know, recall those things in the past. And it also, I think, you know, puts into perspective the ongoing demise of the language. And, you know, it's a wake-up call for many of us, and maybe all of us, that we must do something about the language. And we cannot keep on depending on outside expertise to do this work for us. We have to do it ourselves. And in fact, we're doing it ourselves. So we know that we'll be criticized at the end. You know, when we publish the dictionary, there'll be lots of criticism, lots of questions. Why did you write it this way? But at least we'll try our best, and then leave it to the next generation to improve on it, you know, and do better than what we have done.
We're speaking with Dr. Elizabeth Re'ebe, co-principal investigator of the Chamorro English Dictionary Revision Project. We'll be back after this break. So we have, let's take about a minute break, and I'll edit this, no?
Okay, edit. So, is it okay?
It's great.
Really?
It's great. And now I think in the second half, we can maybe also talk a little bit more about, maybe we'll start off with why is this project important? Some people, you know, like we were talking about, some people say, you know, why do we still need to speak Chamorro or Carolinian?
Yeah.
And so we can talk about the significance of that.
That will be interesting.
Yes. And then you had also wanted to mention who you're collaborating with, the mayor's office. And
yeah, we're collaborating with a lot.
I really like the stories I've heard about how this project is getting the community excited and the community involved, and like you said, reminiscing. And stuff.
Yeah.
And we'll also talk about Magic 100 for people who want to tune in more.
And I'm sure, you know, with this, they'll learn more about it.
Yeah. Oh, can I ask you to, teach us a word. Can you think of a word?
Oh, teach you a word?
Teach us a word that is not teach us an old word that is maybe not used in, or maybe a word that's either misused or a word that not many people are familiar with.
Now that you said that.
Or how about a word that has to do with like humor or because I think I think our culture is a lot about humor.
It is.
So something that either humor itself or laughter or making fun of, you know.
Yeah, but those are usually like, you know, dirty
words. Oh, really? Dirty words? Never mind. To joke with. What does it mean to joke with?
We can talk about, you know, like interesting words like balakbak.
Okay, yes. Let's
you
talk
know balakbak?
About. It's a bag.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, let's come back. And then we'll just flow with that. We'll talk about that word. Okay. Welcome back to Your Humanities Half Hour. We're speaking with Dr. Elizabeth Re'ebe, co-principal investigator of the Chamorro English Dictionary Revision Project. Liz, you guys have put a lot of man hours, efforts into this dictionary. Some people may ask, why is it still necessary to speak Chamorro? Why put so much time and energy into this project if so few people speak the language and we can communicate so well in English? Why?
I think that's a really great question, Kathy. A lot of us have gone through the process of wondering why we're doing this. And is it worth the time and effort and, you know, the sentiments of the people? What do they feel about it? I think, and I speak for the working groups as well as the co-leaders and also Dr. Sandra Chong. There's something about language, you know, that makes us human. And I think, you know, every human being has some kind of a identity through the language. That's how you define yourself. You know, the language evolves out of the way you think. And that's how you create your language. So the language really represents you. And it's kind of sad, you know, that over hundreds of years, since, you know, we had the Spanish come in and you know, made us think differently about our own language. It's really sad that we have lost so much. But that's not an excuse really for us now, because we have the means to document the language, to start revitalizing the language, and also to teach it to the next generation. So really, we should not be blaming, you know, others for losing the language. It's now time for us to do it. And the reason why language is so important is because we have specific knowledge that only we possess. And it, you know, that knowledge does not exist in any other culture. And when I say we, you know, this applies to every cultural group. They also have their own unique knowledge that is expressed, you know, in their own unique languages. So this is really important for us as human beings, I think. And I know I'm speaking, you know, in a very passionate way about this, but I really believe that we need to raise ourselves a little bit higher in terms of our own dignity and in terms of trying to do things on our own and stop depending on other people and blaming other people for what's happening to our culture and our language. There's so much that, you know, we can say about why we feel this is important. And I think in our daily lives, as we see things happening around us and also around the world, we begin to feel the impact of the loss of our language. One way we feel the impact is the ease in which we speak English. It is, you know, it's really easy to express so many different things that are modern, different concepts that we don't have in our, probably in our language. It's just so easy, and everything has to be done, you know, so quickly. If you watch the news, everybody speaks so fast, you know, in English. And it seems like nobody's listening to each other anymore. But, you know, you have to be able to speak fast. But I think the Chamorro language is unique in so many ways, even in the way it's spoken, the way it's expressed in different forms. So we need to protect that, and we need to preserve it, and we need to perpetuate it. So we have done, as a group, we have done several things to do just that, you know. And one of them is the language conference that we had in Rota, and we have been participating in the Chamorro conferences that Guam started many years ago, and we have been involved in the traditional medicine conferences, you know, workshops, activities. We try to be involved in all those to help us revitalize the language that way. I don't know if I answered your question, but if you ask the other working group members, they'll tell you even more, you know, deeper feelings about the language. And a lot of them have been involved in the bilingual education program when it was still very active, and they sense really the need to do something about the language. We're very fortunate that Carmen Taimonyo, Diana Borja, Tita Hokok, you know, all those people are still involved, and I have there are about 60 people that have been working in this project, and I wish I could name all of them, but they'll be named in the dictionary, they'll be listed in the dictionary at the end. So, but you know, I don't think we'll ever be able to thank them enough for what they have done.
And you've received a lot of support, you mentioned, from the mayor's offices on the respective islands, Chamorro Karen Indian Language Policy Commission, Indigenous Affairs, and all the many people who have really contributed in the working group discussions. And what do you think it has meant to the community and to those that have been a part of this to be a part of it?
I think the fact that so many people have partnered and collaborated with this project, either, you know, through in-kind, financial, or other ways, I think it means that the community as a whole is really keen on having this dictionary revised and completed. And it also is a reflection of how, you know, they feel about the language, the importance of maintaining and respecting and perpetuating the language. So the mayor's office in Rota especially has been so helpful from the, even from the previous mayor, Mayor Joseph Enos, and the current mayor, Mitsot Mendiola, I think, yeah. And then the mayor of Tinian, Ramon de la Cruz, and so they have been really supportive. The Indigenous Affairs has been very supportive, and of course the Language Commission. But you know, I also would like to say that there are families, like families that, you know, we would go into their homes and they welcome us and they share with us their knowledge of the language and the culture. So we have done a lot of that, and they have visited you know, homes. For example, in Rota, Tita has, you know, this cell phone, and she would call people right there on the cell phone to ask about the meaning of some words, what it means, and when we're doing editing. So she has contacts, you know, throughout the community, and I think Tita is known in Rota as the dictionary lady already. So we're so grateful that she's with us, you know, in this project. And Manny also has done so much, and Diane Borja in Tinian also. It's, you know, we're lucky that, you know, we're still small communities here in the CNMI, and we pretty much know almost everybody, especially the elders. So they have been very, very supportive, and they're willing to give their time, you know. But then we found out also that many of them have forgotten so many things, and it's kind of sad that this is happening. We were thinking that it may be too late for us to do this dictionary, but it's better, you know, late than never.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really up to us now, this generation, our generation, to revise this dictionary.
We would like to mention also that even after this show, there is another opportunity for people who are interested in hearing the words on Magic 100, I believe.
Yes. Yes, Magic 100 has been helping us by soliciting information from the listeners. So Glenn Manglonia would, you know, pronounce some words and ask, what do you know what this means? So they would either call in or they would email him, and then Glenn would turn around and email me what, you know, he has collected on Saturdays. So he would do that every Saturday for the next month or so.
It's a great collaboration.
I think so.
As we come down to the end of our show, I want to thank you for allowing us to do this interview in English, because that is my first language that I'm most comfortable in. But I also wanted you to give the opportunity to share a message or whatever is on your heart in Chamorro to our listeners before we go today.
Tawkulusina onru ni ano ito si Catherine zani Power 99 putparabay kwentus didi puri istina project I pamaribisa I diksinaryo. The staying compendia of a fino given English, lo malaguzulokina parata continua estina totso, the todu hamzuni mani ekumuman malagam zuman man organ holum, guess Glenn, but contact si Manny Borja, si Tita Hokuk, si Diane Borja, Zan Guahu, si Elizabeth Diaz Rebe, no organ hami, but email hami and ginguahan no palabra no malagumizu perenatunga mi pamana holum gidictionary. Jamalago Zulokina Pabi Noyam Zodonkuluna Gradisimento Parato Dudusiaman Manazuda, Distiki Quatronius Malofan, but for both Malata continuous in a sources at Anafanazan, Sizus Marcy.
And thank you very much for your time today and for sharing us. And we wish you all success in collecting more words and helping us understand more words.
Thank you very much, Catherine, for this opportunity.
This has been your Humanities Half Hour. I'm Catherine Perry. Thank you.